13-25-00-127-CV, Richard Molina, Chief Appraiser and Cameron County Appraisal District, versus QET Aircraft Services, LLC, and Mario Lopez.
May it please the court, my name is Jim Evans. My client is the Cameron Appraisal District, as well as Mr. Richard Molina, Chief Appraiser. I want to talk first a little bit about deadlines in the property tax code. The point of the deadlines, and we're going to talk about them, is so that the Appraisal Review Board can get its appraisal records approved by July 20th, that's in the property tax code, so that the Chief Appraiser can certify the appraisal roll to the local governments, the local taxing units, so they can meet their deadline to adopt tax rates. So the deadlines are there. They're fairly strict. But without these deadlines, tax rates would never get adopted and local governments would never get funded. In this case, there are two appellees, Mr. Arriato Lopez and QET. Mr. Arriato Lopez owns two planes. QET owns the other two. They assert that their four airplanes are exempt from property taxation. The appraisal district disagreed and in 2022 issued notice to the owners that the four airplanes were taxable and were not exempt. The process available to an owner who disagrees with a determination by the chief appraiser or by the appraisal district is to file a protest under property tax code section 41.41A4. There is a deadline to protest, and that deadline is generally 30 days from the date the property owner receives notice of the appraised value. There are some workarounds. An owner can assert good cause for late filing as long as that's done prior to the July 20th date. The Appraisal Review Board approves the appraisal records. That was not done in this case. None of the airplanes were the subject of any protests whatsoever by the deadline, and certainly not under Chapter 41, which is a property tax code chapter for dealing with property owner protests. The owners admit they missed the June 27th, 2022 deadline to file a protest. So that deadline came and went, no protest. The district's position is by missing the protest, they have completely waived any right to go forward. But despite the fact that the owners missed the protest, they decided to invoke another section in the property tax code. And this is tax code section 25.25C, is in Charlie. That section is in the code to correct certain mistakes that an appraisal district or a property owner may have made that do not affect property value and do not affect property exemptions. 25.25C provides remedies for four different things. An owner can ask the Appraisal Review Board to use 25.25C to correct a clerical error, whether made by the owner or by the appraisal district, to correct multiple appraisals of the same property, also to correct an incorrect ownership, and to correct the inclusion on the appraisal roll of property that is in the wrong form or in the wrong location. That is to say, property that is misdescribed. For example, if the property is a vehicle, but it's misdescribed as an airplane, that would be an error in form. It's not an issue here in this case. An error in location is if it's in another county. That is not an issue here either. The parties agree that the subject property comprises four airplanes, and the property is located in Cameron County at Valley International Airport. The section 2525C remedies do not include the ability for an owner to argue a property tax exemption. The code section allows the ARB to go back 5 years, the appraisal review board to go back 5 years and correct these errors. Very limited. So for example, if an owner decides that maybe the property was overvalued in 2021, the owner may not use 2525C to seek relief.
Counsel, is there a particular form required for the notice of protest under Section 41.41?
Under 41, all the tax code requires is that the owner manifest apparent dissatisfaction with the action of the appraisal district. There is a controller's form that's on the controller's website, but the code in Chapter 41 does say all an owner has to do is express dissatisfaction, state the grounds, and that's basically it.
I noticed in the record that the appellees filed a property owner's motion for correction of appraisal roll. And there's nothing in this form that indicates there's a protest for exemption. So that's why I'm asking if there's a separate form for that.
I don't know the answer to that. I will say this. In the controller's form that most people use are also on the appraisal district's website, the form has a series of boxes that can be checked. One box, for example, is dissatisfaction with the appraised value of the property. Another box is that an exemption was denied or modified. So in the form that's promulgated by the controller, the property owner can check the box to say this property should have been exempt, but it was not exempt. It was not exempted by the appraisal district. So I think if that answers Your Honor's question, there is a place in the typical form for a property owner to check the box about an exemption.
So would you construe these motions filed by the appellees a protest or the
absolutely
argument
not.
Under 25.25? It,
it is not a protest. In Chapter 25 and 2525C, it is called a motion rather than a protest. The protest scheme is in Chapter 41. The motion is a complete standalone separate remedy in an entirely different chapter of the property tax code. It's called a motion versus a protest. The district's position is that this is not a protest. It's not an extension of a protest. This is a separate standalone motion in which they're seeking to invoke, they're seeking relief for an exemption that does not exist in 2525C. An exemption is not included in any of those four grounds for relief. And, you know, it makes sense because going back 5 years, would the legislature allow somebody to go back 5 years and say, well, you know, I should have had that exemption in 2021. I think I'm going to ask the ARB to give me that exemption now. That's not a ground for relief in 2525C. So despite
Counsel, in the notice of final order to the appellees, it states the appraisal review board has made a final decision on your protest and they have a right to appeal.
That's a misnomer. It's not a protest. But actually in the order itself, and that is in clerk's record 275, I believe, the ARB, the appraisal review board, checked one box, and the box that ARB checked was to say that the owner's motion for correction of inclusion of property in the appraisal records for form or location is denied. So the only relief the ARB granted was no relief. They never even took up the exemption because the order does not say anything about an exemption. So now we're getting to, and that was their plan B, I guess. They missed the deadline, so plan B is to see if they can recover under 2525C. There's no order determining protest, so therefore there's no exhaustion of administrative remedies that would confer jurisdiction in the trial court. There's
How do you respond to the appellee's argument that nowhere in that letter were they informed that the protests were filed late or that they were being dismissed for cause because of late filing?
I don't recall that there was any, well, in the motion, the late filing request was never taken up by the ARB, at least in the record. There's no determination about whether the ARB even took up a good cause for late filing. There has to be good cause in order for late filing.
And are there any other orders in the record of the denial? We only have one order dated December 15, 2022 for the property account number 437080.
Right.
We do not have the other.
That's
orders.
The only order in the court's record. There are two property IDs, 437038 and 437055, where the ARB record reflects, and this is in Mr. Molina's affidavit, he's the chief appraiser, reflects that QET, the owner, did not show up at that ARB hearing. And then 437081 is another airplane. We believe that there was actually an order on that motion nearly identical to the order that is in the clerk's the clerk's record here. I guess we would ask one of two things. One is to invoke the owner's requirement to protest for lack or failure to deliver a notice that the owner is entitled to. If the owner is asserting that there was a no-show on the QET property, then it was up to the owner, pursuant to Texas Tax Code Section 41.411, to file a protest for failure to deliver those notices. As far as the other order that didn't make it into the clerk's record, we'd be fine with a remand with instructions to the trial court. If the court rules in the district's favor and Mr. Molina's favor, we would be fine with a remand to the trial court requesting that the court, ordering the court to follow the court's ruling regarding the order that is actually in the clerk's record in this case. So in for two of these planes, the record reflects that QET didn't show up. And then for one of the planes, we think there's an order determining the 25-25 motion didn't make it into the record. But what the court does have is the order on 437080. That's a property identification number. And that says that the only ground for relief, form or location, is denied. It says nothing about exemption that QET claimed. So that was their plan B. There's no order determining protest. There is nothing that the ARB did to confer jurisdiction in the trial court. That's in Chapter 42 of the Property Tax Code. It says that remedies are exclusive in 42.09. We cite Cameron Appraisal District versus Rourke, where the Supreme Court said these are jurisdictional. You have to present the grounds to the ARB. The ARB has to order on the grounds, and then that is what gets you into the trial court. So they missed the protest. They missed out on the 25-25 motion. Plan C is their ultra vires claim. And this court has held in another Rourke case, I believe it's Rourke 4, similar situation. This was travel trailers, and the owners wanted the travel trailers to be exempt, and they brought an ultra vires action against the chief appraiser. This court held that determining an exemption is an exercise of discretion by the chief appraiser. And so because it's discretionary, ultra vires does not lie in this case. And that actually, you know, is, we believe, is the correct legal interpretation of how the tax code generally works, because an owner's remedy is in Chapter 41 of the Property Tax Code, and in certain instances, Chapter Section 25-25. What they're asking the court for in their ultra-virus claim is the same relief that they should have asked for in the property tax protest. But they didn't even protest, so they missed the deadline. They invoked a code section that contains no remedies whatsoever. So there is no exhaustion of administrative remedies at all. And then they try to save face and bring an ultra-virus action, which, as this court has held, is not applicable when the chief appraiser is determining an exemption. So we would respectfully ask that the court follow precedent that it has provided on ultra-virus claims regarding chief appraisers and appraisal districts. And we ask that this case be reversed and rendered if the court determines that missing order needs to be revisited, then we request reversal and instructions to the trial court.
Thank you, Mr. Evans.
Once again, good morning, Your Honors. My name is Randall Crane, representing the appellees. My client, Mr. Arrieta, is an individual who's about 90 years old. He is the sole owner and manager of QET, which is the owner of two of the aircraft. In his individual name, he owns two of the aircraft. Mr. Arrieta is a very successful businessman. He had a veterinarian pharmaceutical business in Mexico, and he splits his time now between living in, well, up until recently, living in Mexico and living in Harlingen. He used these planes to go back and forth between the two countries, and like I said, he apparently can afford to do it. When it was in 2022, okay, that they first started taxing these airplanes. He'd owned them for years, but all of a sudden they started taxing them. So, yeah, he filed a protest, and he used the wrong form.
Where did he obtain this form?
Pardon me?
Where did he obtain this form? Was it through the district, or was it online?
No, I believe they mailed them in, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
And they were given the forms by the appraisal district. But we'll get into this later. There's, you know, you can write your protest on a napkin if you want to. All the law requires is that the protest names the individual who's making the protest, identifies the property in question, and says what his complaint is. Mr. Arrieta did all of that in each of the protests. Admittedly, he filed them late, and we'll get into that also.
Well, I do see that the board went ahead and allowed the late filing and found good cause, correct?
Yeah, he did.
Review board?
I'm sorry, he what?
Review board. They found good cause and allowed the late filing?
Apparently they did. They had an entire hearing on it. Why would they have the hearing if it wasn't good cause to do so? And you know, so you've brought up an interesting point, Your Honor. If the appraisal district wants to raise this as an affirmative defense that we used the wrong form or as an avoidance, they had the obligation to bring that up at the time of the hearing. They didn't even bring it up in their first original answer to our petition. They didn't bring this up at all until we filed a motion for summary judgment. They brought it up in their response. You were supposed to file that at the appraisal. You're supposed to make notice of it at the appraisal district. And I'll give you some cases on that in a minute. But if you don't do that then at the appraisal district, you can't complain about it in the district court, which is what they're trying to do.
And counsel, how do you respond to their argument that this is a 25-25 motion and not a 41.41 protest?
Our response is it doesn't matter what form you use. They're trying to put form over matter. The case law is clear that as long as you tell them what the problem is, who the owner is, what the property is, and what the problem is, you're okay. I give you a number of cases.
The order that's before the court is an order determining motion to correct appraisal rule, and it's signed off that the property owner's motion concerning the matters permitted by the tax code 25.25 is denied. This is the order that's before this court.
Right. But they denied our motion, but we had the hearing. Consequently, we fulfilled our administrative requirement, and we were free to go on to district court. They're saying we weren't. If we didn't have the right motion, they should have not had the hearing, correct? If we were not timely, they shouldn't have had the hearing. I mean, it's their obligation not to waste taxpayers' time having these long, drawn-out hearings if someone, if they have an affirmative of defense or an avoidance. I mean, that is something they need to tell us. And, you know, one case you can look at in that regard, and I'm sure it's in my briefs there somewhere, is a Midland Central Appraisal District case that is 202 Southwest 3rd, 469. You know, throughout that case, they say that you may not raise an issue before the trial court that wasn't raised at the appraisal review board. There is nothing in their order that shows that they raised the issue of late filing, improper notice, form of notice, none of that. They had an obligation to tell us that. And the notice, the same case, the Midland case, also says that the notice of protest is sufficient if it shows who the property owner is, what the property is, and what is involved. Mr. Arrieta not only filed a protest, he filed with it an affidavit. If you file an affidavit, that means you have appeared or are appearing in that court case. In other words, you don't have to be there personally. The affidavit will take care of it. In this case, strangely enough, the hearings were set at the same date, same time, but in different areas, you know, different rooms. You can't be in two places at once. I am sure that the district combined them all, since the same airplane, same question, same owner. At least that's what Mr. Arrieta thought, that he was answering as to all of the airplanes at this one hearing. Now they're coming up and saying that we weren't at one of the hearings. If you'll look at Mr. Molina's deposition affidavit, he says that the Mr. Arrieta appeared at one of the hearings in regard to two of the aircraft. Mr. Richard Moreno says just the opposite in his deposition. He says they appeared at the other, in regard to the other airplanes, and didn't say anything about this one. In neither of their depositions, their affidavits, did they say anything about late filing, wrong form, anything of that nature. Consequently, I think they have waived that issue as far as going to the trial court and coming to this court. It just, it's gone. They should have brought it up then.
And counsel, in your brief, you argue that your clients did not receive proper notice with regards to the hearing before the review board. However, they cite 41.411 regarding notice, not the 44 or 41.41. Statute.
We're not saying we didn't get proper notice. We're saying, and we're admitting that we did file late. But they went ahead, the district went ahead and had the hearing, you know, gave us a date that the hearings, after we filed the protest, they sent us a schedule for the hearing, set the hearings for a particular date and time, had my client come in for those hearings and heard them. You know, we've exhausted our administrative remedies. That gives us the right to go to court or to the appellate court.
And counsel, do you have any orders?
Do I have any?
The other property account numbers, the 437081.
The only order we have is the one that was mentioned earlier, and I've
because have you're not arguing that you've exhausted your remedies. However, there are no other orders before this court.
I'm sorry, do what?
Your argument is that you've exhausted your remedies. However, there are no other orders before this court.
How would who know?
So that the motions were denied. Do you have any other orders that the motions were denied?
I do not. Okay. I mean, you know, this is just a kind of a circus down there, what's going on. They set hearings in the same people, same time, different places. No one knows who, or neither of the people in charge know who went to which hearing. They didn't give proper orders. You know, you're supposed to decide these things according to the Koch case, favoring the taxpayer when possible. I think all the things they did show that they just didn't handle this correctly, and it's not our client's fault. You know, failing to meet a deadline, like I've said, is an affirmative defense which must be pled, or it cannot be relied on later. In the present case, there is no evidence that the late filing was ever raised as an avoidance or an affirmative defense, nor was it raised in response of pleadings until defendant's response to the plaintiff's motion for summary judgment, and thus it was waived. And you can look at the case of Quorum International versus Tarrant Appraisal District, which is 114 Southwest 3rd, 568, 570, and at page 572 for that ruling. Also, and in that case, though, it was saying that the taxpayer had not raised the issue as opposed to the appraisal district. But, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If the appraisal district didn't raise it, they can't rely on it either. Their next deal is a notice of protest. And like I said, there is no evidence in the appellant record that during the tax protest hearing, the issue was raised as to an improper form being used. And the affidavit of Mr. Molina fails to state that this, and in the deposition of Robert Romero, there's nothing saying that, well, we told them that they didn't use a proper form or do it in a timely manner. Each of the protests filed included the affidavit of Mr. Arrieta, as I have told you. And in those affidavits, he names himself as the owner. He tells you who the affidavit is concerning, which aircraft. And he also says very specifically that these aircraft are used for personal purposes only. They're not commercial. That's what he says. So, you know, it's before the board what the complaint is about. They want to go off on some tangent saying, well, we didn't know what you were down here asking about, but that's ridiculous. And there is nothing else for them to discuss during the hearing but what was on his affidavit, and that was the request for an exemption. Because as the court well knows, Tax Code 1114 says that the tangible personal property is only taxable if it is income producing. These aircraft were not income producing. There was no evidence put on by the appraisal district that they were income tax producing. Mr. Arrieta, when we got to the trial court, put on a ton of evidence that they were not income producing. There's an affidavit from his lead secretary who handles his business. There are affidavits from the airline pilot that flies the aircraft for him. His accountant, his CPA, who had been his accountant for 7 years or 10 years, I forget exactly which, testified that there was never any income made off those aircraft. And even more importantly, Mr. Arrieta and QET never took any expenses that were applied to the aircraft off of any income. I mean, there wasn't any income, but he didn't take it for his own purposes either, nor did he depreciate them. I mean, there's no income. We gave, as part of our evidence, all the logs of flights taken. And according to Mr. Arrieta and his secretary and other people, these were friends. He'd go pick up his friends, bring them up to Texas, take them back to their homes in Mexico. He was just having a good time. You know, fortunately, he was able to do that.
Counsel, can you direct us to case law that requires the district to put on evidence as to whether or not these are non-income?
Did he put on evidence?
Correct. No. Is there any case law out there that the district has to put on basically the burden to show whether or not these are
Well, I would think that once the issue is raised, the ball is kind of in their court to respond.
But can you point us to any case law?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Thank you.
And the appellants also argue, I don't know if they actually made the argument today or not, but they are saying there is no protest for 23 and 24. Well, you know, there is case law, and that's Estep versus Miller, 731 Southwest 2nd, 677, which is a writ refused NRE case. And that says that where you filed one protest for an exemption or taxes, whatever it is, in 1 year, that you do not have to continue to file those protests year after year, because it would be a waste of everyone's time and money, because the district is already put on notice of what the problem, when it involves the same property, the district is already put on notice as to what the property is, what the problem is, who the owner is. I mean, they have all the information before them, so there's no need to keep throwing it at them year after year, as long as you amend your petition, which was done in this case, your lawsuit petition. As to the ultra-virus claim, you know, this is completely different than the court's previous dealing with this. In this case, Mr. Rometto, who is the one in charge of personal property, tangible personal property, he said the reason that they did not give the exemption to Mr. Arrieta or QET was because it was a business. Mr. Arrieta is not a business, he's an individual. But just the same, that is stepping outside the law. That's going beyond his legal authority when he creates a completely new category of a non-exemption. The non-exemption is strictly, does it or does it not produce income? In this case, there's no evidence whatsoever that these aircraft produced income. So what they want to do is jump over and create this new category. Well, you're a business, so we're going to tax you anyhow. And that's why, in our belief, Mr. Molina, through his employee, was acting in an ultra-virus manner. And because of that, of course, we don't have to exhaust our administrative remedies, and we can go directly to the trial court. Basically, that's our argument. I appreciate y'all's time. Questions?
Do you have any case law in regards to the legal definition of income producing?
I don't believe there is any. I know that there's a Supreme Court case. I don't have the cite, but says that, you know, if you're depreciating property, that can be considered income. I would assume that expensing the cost of operating would be considered income. And, you know, that's something that I think is within the discretion of the Mr. Molina, the head of the appraisal district, you know, to make decisions like that. But it's not within his discretion to set up a whole new category of who is to be exempt. Anything else?
Counsel, is there a difference between determination of whether personal property is taxable or whether personal property is subject to tax exemptions?
Well, anything that does not produce income is tax exempt except manufactured homes. I mean, that's clearly what 1114 says. I think that's what you're asking.
Yes.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. Mr. Ruiz?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. I'd like to start by clarifying just a few things that counsel discussed just now. Even if the motion submitted could be construed as a protest, it would still be past the deadline for a good cause hearing. That has to be done before the July 20th deadline. I would also like to point out to the court that the Appraisal Review Board is a distinct entity, that they do their own scheduling. So as far as setting one of the appellees in one area and another of the appellees in the other area at the same time. That is not done by the district. It's done by the appraisal review board, who is not a party to this suit. Additionally, 2525C requires that the appraisal review board sets it for a hearing. The appraisal review board would be subject to a claim that they failed to set it for a hearing if they did not. So when the appraisal review board presumably got a 2525C motion, it wasn't construed as a good cause motion or a good cause protest under Chapter 41 for a denial of an exemption. It was construed as a 2525C motion, and that is reflected in the order that is in the record. That is what they decided. It was the form and location and nothing else, which is reflected in that order. Another point that I'd like to clarify is that the ultravirus claims that are brought, ultravirus claims are not available for retroactive relief. They're only available for prospective relief, which makes sense under the tax code that it wouldn't be an available remedy at all, because the relief sought is retroactive relief to consider these particular aircraft as exempt property. Council also mentioned that an affirmative defense was not raised. There is case law from the Texas Supreme Court in Dolans versus Dallas Central Appraisal District that says this is a jurisdictional failure to exhaust administrative remedies is a jurisdictional issue that can be raised at any time and it cannot be waived.
And what is the citation, Council?
That is, I don't have the exact. It's Dolans versus Dallas Central Appraisal District. I did not have the rest of the style, but we can supplement if the court would like.
Thank you. We would appreciate that.
Thank you. Lastly, So they do not have to present the jurisdictional issues. It can be brought up at any time, and it's not a form of avoidance or affirmative defense. This is just a jurisdictional issue, and it doesn't need to be brought up in the ARB hearing. That is just a lot of that stuff. The first time the issue will ever come up is when it gets to court. So council made a distinction of form over matter, and this is the kind of hyper-technical requirements that the legislator wanted to prevent. And I just wanted to point out that the hyper-technical requirements do have some leeway with the good cause exception. That provides the just in case you missed it. If that was brought before, that would be something that could be determined by the chief appraiser, that good cause may have existed. But it's not something that is on a 2525C motion, which has nothing to do with the exemptions.
And Council, how do you respond to the appellees that they were provided the form by the appraisal district?
Well, there's case law that says even if told that the wrong form is required, even if the district tells the wrong deadline to the taxpayer, that there's no estoppel against a governmental entity for telling you the wrong information. And the legislature does, and case law puts it in the responsibility of the property owner. Lastly, I would just like to say that ultimately, Your Honors, that this case relies on the claims brought are trying to circumvent the mandatory and exclusive procedure of Chapter 41. And as such, we request that the court dismiss for failure to exhaust administrative remedies or allow us to supplement at the trial court level on remand.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Then this case will be under submission.